weeknights from 6
on 2FM.
Thanks to Dujon and Afric. Well, Johnny B anyway. It's a Friday, the 8th of March, and you're listening to Game On. Coming up today, Alan Cawley, Raph Giallo, Fergal Brennan, Ursula Jacob, Shane McGrath and Jane Mangan are standing by to preview the sporting weekend ahead. Plus, we'll hear from Ireland captain Peter O'Mahony ahead of tomorrow's huge Six Nations match in Twickenham. And if you want to get in touch, you can text us on 51552. We're on X at Game On 2FM. Or you can WhatsApp us on 087 187 9200.
Game on 2FM.
Now we are going to start the show, as we have all this week, with the competition. So we've teamed up with Dove Men Care Plus to give away some fantastic prizes. And today is your last chance to get your hands on Dove Advanced Deodorant, designed to be tough on sweat, not on skin, with a daily prize of a hamper packed full of Dove's Men Deodorant and Body Wash. Plus, at the end of today's show, we're going to put all our daily winners from this week into a draw for a chance to win our ultimate prize to see the team you support win an epic 1500 sports package from Dove that you can put towards your match tickets, hotel stay and spending money. It really is a fantastic prize. So for a chance to win today's Dove Men's Hamper and to get into the draw for the ultimate prize, all you have to do is tell us the answer to this question. Which stadium will Ireland play England in the Six Nations tomorrow? These questions are getting so tough towards the end of the week. Text the word Dove, your answer, name and email address to 51552 right now and we'll announce the winners before the end of the show. As always, RTE competition terms and conditions apply, so see 2fm.ie for all the details. You're very welcome along. It's Friday, which means it's a busy show because every weekend is busy when it comes to sport. There's so much to look forward to. Raph is with me in studio, as is Alan. How are you guys?
I'm good, Marie.
Good, yeah.
All's
yeah.
well.
What are you looking forward to most this weekend? Lots happening.
Yeah, there's so much on. There is so much on. Kicking off tonight with the League of Ireland. Obviously, I'm going to a match. Mm-hmm. After that, you have the boxing later on. I'll watch that as well, Marie. Then the rugby, I'll tune in. I won't be.
I won't get too invested.
I won't be hanging on the edge of my seat watching that tomorrow. And then obviously Sunday, the big match. I'm really looking forward to. Well, I'm actually looking forward to Spurs Villa as well. Mm. Two great games on Sunday, but Liverpool Man City is obviously the big one.
Yeah, and there's hurling and camogie too. We'll be getting into that with Ursula and Shane in a while. Raph, you looking forward to anything in particular?
I think the last thing that Alan mentioned there, so Liverpool City, it can't get much bigger than that. I know Liverpool have their injury issues, and maybe it's not a battle of equals in that sense, but at least for me anyway, that's I know what I'm doing at that time on a Sunday. I'll probably throw in the F1 as well, but I think as we discussed earlier in the week, it's a bit of a letdown sometimes just with the imbalance that is there. Obviously fair play to Max Verstappen, who's been brilliant for the last few years, but it does make it less exciting all the way down the grid.
Yeah, it's it could end up in a...
What are you looking forward to, Marie?
I'm looking forward to the football on Sunday and the rugby and the hurling. So they're the three that I'm going to be like everybody else. I'm working Sunday, but I'll just be setting my weekend around the kids' matches and then the grown-ups matches. So it should be a really good weekend. I think we'll probably know a lot by the end of it. We're going to start the programme today with rugby, that huge game. Ireland and England is going to be on RTE2 television tomorrow and Saturday Sport, if you're looking to tune in anywhere to find it. It will be in those places. So Ireland captain Peter O'Mahony believes that Ireland's current team is the best that he has played in with since he's been the captain. They are playing in Twickenham in that Six Nations game against England, and he had his captain's run today, and Peter O'Mahony spoke to the media.
A long week finished, captain's run finished. There's a big gap, big sense of anticipation ahead of tomorrow.
Yeah, look, there always is. Ireland, England, Twickenham, Six Nations game. You know, if that doesn't excite you, you know, a bit of anticipation, you're certainly not a rugby fan or a rugby player.
So, fantastic to play in it, but to be the captain, be the first man out, must be just something you're really looking forward to.
Yeah, look, as I've spoken about, it's a huge honour. But look, it's about a performance tomorrow. It's not about walking down the tunnel. It's about putting in a performance that we're proud of tomorrow.
So you've played three games, you've won three games, you've got progressively better as time has gone on, but we've yet to see the best of Ireland.
Yeah, look, we're always chasing down our best performance, but that's the perfect performance will never come. We've always stuff to work on, you know, every week. Win, lose or draw, we've loads of stuff to get stuck into that week in video and get better on. So nothing different since the last time we were out.
How important is it playing with ice in your body tomorrow? I don't mean you, but I mean collectively as 1-23.
Yeah, there's a huge, huge part of the game now is being calm under stress and pressure, which is what a test rugby environment is. And there's a lot of the time, whoever can do that better is the team that wins.
It's a fantastic place to play rugby, isn't it, Twickenham? I mean, to come and play England in their own back garden is a huge test of everything.
Yeah, it is. Look, it's obviously an incredible stadium, always a great atmosphere, and we've no doubt it's going to be noisy and intimidating tomorrow. But that's part of the job and part of the enjoyment.
And is this one of the days that you kind of, as a younger man, look forward to, if you understand what I mean, in terms of playing rugby at this level?
Yeah, of course it is. Growing up watching Ireland play here, not being very successful, but loving watching them play, and now getting the opportunity again to come out here, huge honour.
And a final word, I mean, you're up against some people who you're kind of familiar with for, other reasons. You've played at the highest level on Lions tours, but that friendship is parked for tomorrow.
Yeah, look, of course it is. It's about a performance. It's about a result tomorrow, and that's certainly put to one side.
A big day for Ireland tomorrow. They're facing England in the Guinness Six Nations. It's on 4:45 on RTE2 and RTE Player, or tune in to the RTE News app for a live blog, or else on RTE Radio 1. So Peter Manny was speaking to Michael Corcoran at the Captain's Run earlier today. We're going to take a very quick break. Stay with us, though. We have hurling and camogie to come. 2FM. Now, welcome back. It is time to turn our attention to the Allianz Hurling League. I'm delighted to say that Ursula Jacob and Shane McGrath are with me now. How are you guys?
Hi, Marie.
Hey, Marie. How are you?
Yeah, good. Delighted to be talking to two of my favourite people, two of my favourite pundits. I love saying this when Alan Cawley's around. He goes mad when I...
I'm number one now.
Yeah, I have to give him all
Shane's
the
two and Ursula's three.
Well, Shane's from take three.
Shane's from tips, so that automatically puts him way down the list.
Wow.
Shane, let's get straight into Tipperary Hurling then. They're playing Limerick tomorrow evening, and... How do Tipperary people feel now heading into play Limerick?
I think they're really looking forward to the game, Marie. Like, there's really strong teams named on both sides. So, like, if you want to kind of read into it without having to say anything, I suppose, I think both teams are really going for this. We're getting closer to the championship, second last game of the league. So, like, the Limerick team, you could say 10, 11 regulars in the starting team, and, another two or three guys like Jamie Flanagan, Tom Morrissey, they're in the subs. So, I think everyone nearly bar Barry Nash. It's kind of there featuring, and on the Tip side, it's the same. Like, I mean, bar maybe who'll start for Tip that's not starting tomorrow night, maybe Noel McGrath, Brian O'Mara, Cahal Barrett, Dan McCormack. And they're like all bar Cahal Barrett are featured in the panel as well. So I think from that alone, you can see that they're both going to go at this tomorrow night down in Cork. How are Tip people feeling about it? I don't know. Like, I think most hurling people will realise that Limerick are still by far the best team, regardless of what gear they're in or not. I mean, I was up in Croke Park a couple of weeks ago to see him play Dublin, Marie, and without four or five of the best hurlers in Ireland, they still scored 330 and they looked to be in third gear. So, they're just kind of setting out a reminder, I think, really, that they're still the best. And when they get to Croke Park, I just think they love playing there. Even it's early on in the year, but I think if Limerick get back to Croke Park, it's very hard to see them not winning the All-Ireland again. Just even looking at them there the other day, just how at home they are in Croke Park, and they love playing there. So I think people are realistic too, that they'll go down. Good teams, I think it's going to be some great matchups around. Even Cathal O'Neill, a centre-back, the last day, Marie, for people that might know it, Cathal O'Neill would play his club hurling in the forwards, his college hurling in the forwards. See him line out centre-back. He probably was on the ball more than any other Limerick player. He scored 4 points from play. He had 6 shots at goal. It's from centre-back, so... Do you know what I mean? It's just the versatility of the players, the quality of the players. So it's just interesting to see, will Conor Stakelam sit on him and try and stop him? It's gas to think in modern-day hurling, you nearly have to try and stop the back scoring now. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's just the way the game is. Look at Mikey Butler does Kilkenny. Look what Barry Nash does when he's there. So I think even that match of Conor Stakelam, Cathal O'Neill... Mikey Breen is named to play cornerback, and I think if you do want to go about stopping Limerick, one of the guys you have to stop is Aaron Gillan. So I'd be interested to see how Tip do that. Will they sit in front of Aaron Gillan and cover the space in front of him? Limerick are so good at exploiting that, then they'll just work it through the lines out the field. So I'm interested to see if Mikey Breen will pick him up. I think he will. And I'm just interested to see how what way Limerick will play Colin O'Neill this time. Will it be in the same way? I think it'll be a more physical game as well for Limerick than Dublin, because let's be honest, there wasn't a glove laid on the Limerick lads above Crow Park, and the Dublin lads would admit that too. So I think, like, from Hurling's perspective, from neutral, I think it's going to be a good game. For how are tip people looking at, to answer your question, Marie, I think they're looking forward to it, and then it's not the be all and end all, but at the same time, you know a little bit more about yourselves as a group after you play Limerick. They're the benchmark in any sport. Whatever you're playing, you want to play the top team, and then I think you know a bit more about yourself. So early doors, but I think they're looking forward to the challenge, Marie.
Ursula, I think anyone who's maybe not from Limerick, when you see heavyweights like whoever it is, if it is Tip coming up against Limerick, that you just want to see the gap close a little bit, or see a contest, or give some sort of an indication that we're going to get a good championship. Do you feel like that?
Yeah, and I suppose that's the challenge to all the Chase and Pack at the moment. You know, as Shane said, Limerick are the dominant team at the moment, and they have the strength and depth. They have guys to fill in when I'm not sure any other team could cope with missing players like Keane Lynch or Declan Hannan or these guys, you know, in the last number of years, whereas Limerick just seem to be able to slot a different guy in into that position. And they don't seem to have any real weakness, and I suppose you're trying to find a way. You know, Liam Cahill has come up against Limerick now the last 5 years between managing Watford, and now he's second year in charge of Tip. So the challenge there is for Liam. You know, I don't think he's going to show his full hand on what he's expecting to do against Limerick, maybe come championship, but the two teams are in a good position that they're going to be safe, you know, for Division 1 hurling next year. You know, Tip really went all out in the league last year. And, you know, when they played Limerick in the semi-final, you know, if we remember back to that game, they were 4 points up at half-time, but then Limerick were able to go up another gear. So I suppose that's the challenge for Tip or Clare or Kilkenny or Galway or whoever comes up against Limerick. Is have you got the answers then? If Limerick, you know, change a tactic or bring in a new guy, you know, where do you go from there? Because you can't just have plan A, you can't just have plan B. You have to have C, D, E ready for Limerick, because John Kiely and his management team now, you know, as I said, the strength and depth is there. You know, it's a different guy. As I said, even Grod Hegarty coming back into form, that's a massive plus for Limerick. You know, Donnacha O'Daly has been doing exceptionally well. Another option, you know, for Limerick. And then the fact that Cathal O'Neill, you know, the versatility, the flexibility that's in that panel to be able to go back, you know, centre back and play so well. But it's going to be a different challenge for him coming up against Tipperary as well. And, you know, the likes of Garrod O'Connor, you know, has been in scintillating form the last few games, and even in the Fitzgibbon Cup. Craig Morgan, Jake Morris. I'm thrilled to see Paddy Cadell back. You know, so there is options there, and I think that's what Tip will need, you know, definitely on Saturday night playing the best team in the country.
Yeah, I don't envy them, I have to say. And I'm sure that after seeing them against Dublin as well, it was a tough night for Dublin. They play Galway on Sunday, Shane. And when you look at these two teams, it feels like there's a good rivalry between them, lots of subplots, and they generally give us good games. Is that going to be the case?
I don't know, Marie. I don't know where Dublin are at, to be honest. It was a kind of demoralising. Like, I don't think they played well in the league. You know what I mean? They were very lucky to beat Antrim. They got well beat by Tip. They got absolutely hammered the last day. Now, you know, they have guys coming back. Like, say, if you take Chris Crummie now, for example, top, top class hurler. His first game back with Dublin since 2022 was the other day against Limerick, 2 weeks ago in Crow Park. And he found it hard going, like, you know, and like even Ronan Hayes, he was getting on a lot of ball. Donald Burke was back. It was great. But just, you know, again, it was fine trying to find his feet. Thought Danny Sutcliffe was very good. But it's they need the Danny Sutcliffes, the Donald Burkes, Ronan Hayes, the Chris Crummies. They need them to be at their very, very best to be competitive, in my opinion. And like if they're relying on them all the time, I just don't think they have the quality in their panel at the moment, Marie, to be competitive, to be totally honest with the top teams. I know it's second year for Micheál Donoghue, and it's hard. Like I suppose, is this the price that the hurlers are paying because the footballers are so good? I don't know. I think it's a question to put there. Like, I mean, that's just reality, like in anything. Like if one sport is doing exceptionally well, where are a lot of kids going to want to lean to? They're probably going to want to lean to the football, you know, and that's just because their footballers are unbelievable and they're winning constantly and getting to All-Irelands, whereas it just hasn't been the way for the hurlers. And it hasn't been the way for hurlers, for Dublin hurlers, for some time now, Marie. Like, Anthony Daly's time in charge of them was probably the best time for Dublin hurling, maybe in the history of Dublin hurling. Like, you know, to say that they were a puck of the ball away from getting to an All-Ireland final in 2013, they were winning Leinster Championships, they were winning National League titles, and it just has, for me, slowly dwindled over the last decade. And maybe this is a result of the success that the footballers are having. That's my opinion on it. I just don't know where the hurlers there, and that's why I think Galway will win this game. I think they'll win it by, you know, they'll win 7, 8, 9 points or more, maybe. Like, you know, maybe there's a big backlash coming from Dublin lads, the likes of, I said, Donal Burke have a game under their belts now, but I don't see where the rest of it is coming from Dublin. And, you know, people might be like roaring at the radio and shouting in disagreement, but that's where I feel from watching them up close at Purcell in Crow Park. They shipped 330 against Limerick, who were, look, they're the best team, but they were in third gear. There was no physicality, there was nothing. So they have to bring some bit of fight to it anyway, or else they could, something similar could happen to them above in Salt Hill at the weekend, Marie.
Yeah, it does feel like a worrying time. And even when you're referring to when Anthony Daly was in charge, and, you know, there was that kind of picture painted, the kids were always walking around with the hurlies in their hand, and it was very much a really cool thing to be a hurler. And of course, at the moment, it is very much football. And I'm like you, Shane, I can't see that changing. As someone who lives in Dublin and has children playing in GAA clubs, it's football all the way. Ursula, Wexford and Waterford. So I asked Shane how Tipperary people were feeling heading to play Limerick. How are Wexford people feeling about Waterford?
Yeah, well, I think the attitude down in Wexford at the moment is we're desperately looking for a win. You know, we've had three draws and, you know, we've been tipping along okay in the last three games, but lots of room for improvement. And to me, this game against Waterford is a must-win game for both teams. I think Wexford are going to be looking forward to this game. They know they're going to have to up their performance, maybe get their performance across the 70 minutes rather than in patches. You know, unfortunately, from a Wexford point of view, we're going to be without, you know, probably our most influential player, Lee Chin, and that's a huge blow going into this game. But there is other guys stepping up, and I think that's what Keith and his management team have been doing, you know, throughout the Walsh Cup and in the league games, is giving some of the younger guys the opportunities, because maybe in the last number of years, maybe we didn't have the subs to come on if we were missing guys. And that's where Keith, I think, has definitely been focusing on in these games, is trying to build a stronger panel, trying to bring some of these younger guys, even like the likes of Seamus Casey, who wasn't one of the under 20 players that Keith was managing the last couple of years, but he was in and out of the panel the last number of years. But he seems to be, you know, sparking a new lease of life in Seamus. He had a really good club campaign with Oilgate, and he's really, you know, impressed in the last couple of games. So we need the likes of Seamus pushing on. I'd be hoping to see some of the guys like Matthew O'Hanlon back, you know, Charlie McGuckin will be back from suspension. So it's definitely a must-win game, I think, for Wexford. We need to be hurling in Division 1 for next year. So this, for me, is a huge game. But like, knowing Davy, knowing Waterford, they're going to be bringing the fight as well. And the key area for Waterford, and it's been said in the last number of weeks, is that third quarter that Waterford seemed to be struggling in. And no doubt since that Cork game, Waterford have been working on that. Maybe it's their concentration levels. Maybe, you know, they're drifting in and out of games, and that's not going to be good enough when you're playing top teams. So I think it's going to be a really, really tight game on Sunday. I think there's a bit of pressure on both teams to win this game. So I'm hoping for a draw, if not a win again, for Wexford on Sunday.
Shane, how do you think Waterford are shaping up?
Like, I think that the strongest they've been, Marie, to be honest, was the last quarter against Cork. And that's because they were just kind of, I suppose, getting some of their best players back in the field. Like, you know, like they finished very strong against Cork, maybe weren't lucky not to get something out of the game. But you see the likes of Jamie Barron was coming on, he's coming back from an injury. The likes of Mikey Kiley was coming on, you know, and like these guys are their top players, like, you know, and they made a massive difference. And the confidence they give to the others around the group. And when you hear that maybe Tadhg Burke is close to coming back, or you see Daisy Hutchison, or you see Peter Hogan, or you see these kind of guys, and like, I even found, I was down to see him play Clare a few weeks ago, and even when Stephen Bennett went off that day injured, like they missed four frees after that. So it's all these small things, Marie, make a difference. But when you can get your best players back, it does make a difference. And I do think that, suppose they are getting Davy Fitz, you are getting to a place now where he can look down at the paper when he's making the team and say, you know, I maybe have 9 or 10 or 11 guys that are probably going to be my top championship guys here available for the first time this year. So, like, I think from that alone, Marie, I think they'll go into it in a good place. They'll take confidence from the way they finished against Cork. And, you know, as Ursula said, it's a very, very hard one to call. Like, I suppose the fact that Waterford maybe have the home advantage might be something to them, but they haven't really made use of that yet, Marie, and they really do need to start making use of Walsh Park as a home ground, as a kind of a place where nobody wants to go and play them, because, look, they have their venue now. They're allowed to play much championship games there, so they didn't do it against Clare. Like, I think there's a great opportunity the weekend against Wexford to say, look, if you're coming to Walsh Park, it's going to be a tough day. So that's why I think Waterford might just edge this at the weekend, you know, while it'll be close, for the fact that they're at home. There's a bit of momentum there now, because lads are coming back, and that's, I think, as Ursula said, I think it'll be a good game, all right, yeah.
Okay, and before we finish up, I want a quick word on Clare and Kilkenny. Shane, will this be the game of the weekend, do you reckon?
Well, if you think so, Marie. I think Cork tomorrow night could be it. I hope I'm not wrong, like, but I think Clare and Kilkenny will be a good one. I'm down on duty there with Marty, and Joe Canning is supposed to be on duty there as well, so it'll be good crack trying to jostle for position in the commentary box. You might fire Marty out to the side there, maybe. But
Marty centre stage always.
Always, oh yeah, and we've no issue with that. But look, I think it'll be, like, you know, I wonder, will Brian Lohan, again, like early doors, will Brian Lohan say, look, let's put down a bit of a marker in Kilkenny, because let's be honest, Kilkenny, they've had Clare's number when it really counted there the last few years, especially in Croke Park the last couple of years, Marie. So, you know, I think Brian Lohan will go strong. I think Derek Ling will be doing the same. You know, lads have been coming back slowly and surely for the Kilkenny lads as well. So, you know, like, whoever wins that is guaranteed a semi-final as well. And you can look at maybe resting lads then in the final round. So, yeah, should be a cracker. I think the Banner lads might edge it at home.
All right. And Ursula, Offaly and Cork?
Yeah, I suppose for Offaly, you know, they've put in some gritty performances. Even their loss against Kilkenny, you know, they were ahead by 6 points at half time, and you know, they've impressed at stages throughout the previous games. It's going to be a tough game, no doubt, on Sunday playing Cork, but they've home advantage, you know, and I suppose Johnny Kelly is just trying to get them ready now for Joe McDonagh as well. So, like, Cork, you know, for me, consistency is the big thing. You know, they were flying against Waterford the last day, but then allowed Waterford back. You know, they were 10 points up and then could have nearly lost the game. So it's that consistency with Cork that has let them down the last number of years. I think also Pat Ryan is going to be looking to maybe start. He's so many options of players. It's like trying to settle on the best 15. And at the moment, I don't think maybe Pat Ryan, like, it can be a good headache in some ways, but in other ways, it's trying to find the right 15 that will play the best together. And maybe this is an opportunity on Sunday for him to experiment a bit, maybe to settle down the team a little bit more, but definitely getting a more consistent performance across the 70 minutes, because Cork have that habit of drifting in and out of games and allowing teams to back into it. And maybe that killer instinct is missing at times. So I think they'll be going all out to prove a point on Sunday.
And Ursula, just on the very Camogie League as well, so it's round 3 of Division 1A. We have Cork playing Tipperary, Waterford against Clare, Galway against Kilkenny. 6 really big teams in action there. Just very briefly, just an overview on how you expect these games to go, Ursula.
Yeah, Cork, you know, are unbeaten and had a great win against Waterford the last day, and Tipper coming off the back of a big win against Galway. So I think that's going to be a really tight encounter. Cork obviously have home advantage, but, you know, I think Tipper looking quite strong, even defensively, how they held, you know, Galway the last day. So I think that's going to be a really intriguing battle. Waterford and Clare, you know, Gerry Wallace, you know, is in charge this year with Waterford, and I suppose he's looking to get them back into the to the semi-finals at least in the championship, but building a nice panel. You know, Clare are yet to get the win, and I expect that probably Waterford will have too much for them on Saturday. You know, some of the younger girls are really showing up well for Waterford. And then Galway and Kilkenny, you know, you've the All-Ireland champions from 21 versus the champions of 22, so there's never very much between these two teams. You know, Galway will be disappointed that they conceded 3 goals the last day against Tipperary, so I expect defensively they're gonna have to be a lot tighter, because when you've some of the standout players in that Kilkenny attack, you know, Aoife Doyle, Julianne Malone, Katie Nolan, Katie Power, you know, really in full flow. Galway know they can't afford to be as exposed as they were the last day against Tip. So look, for me, if I was saying it, I think Cork, Waterford and Galway are going to win the game Saturday.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much, Ursula. And Shane, enjoy the weekend. We're going to take a very quick break, but do stay with us. We have Soccer with Fergal, Alan and Raph coming up shortly.
RTE 2FM.
Welcome back. Raph and Alan are still with me in studio, and Fergal Brennan from Merseyside joins us on the line as well. I don't know where I was going to say you're from there, Fergal. How are you though?
Very good. Looking forward to a very, very exciting weekend of Premier League football.
Okay. Is Liverpool Man City going to live up to the hype, Fergal? That's all I want to know.
I think it will. I think all of the stars have kind of aligned in terms of the importance. This has a kind of 2019-2020 feel about it, where the two of them were going head-to-head, Guardiola against Klopp. All the big players are back fit, in form. Virgil van Dijk against Erling Haaland. There's mini battles going on all over the pitch. There's subplots as well, obviously, with this being the last Premier League meeting between Klopp and Guardiola. If we believe what Klopp is saying, that he won't manage another Premier League team ever again. We don't know how much longer Guardiola's going to be around either. It really feels like it is going to be huge. I don't think it will be full of goals or full of wild moments. Hopefully, we won't be talking too much about VAR either. But as a game, I get the feeling that we're going to get the Liverpool and Man City that we got from a couple of seasons ago, where it was just two incredible sides packed with players that can turn a game in a split second, going for it. I hope it's not 0-0.
It better not be, Alan. What do you reckon?
It will absolutely live up to the hype, Marie. I am so excited about this game. I'm so excited about the title race, because I mentioned here the last few weeks that we've never seen a title race with three teams as good as this. Yes. And obviously these two are going head to head, and they've been rivals for quite some time now. Obviously Klopp and Guardiola have built that up over a period of time, and he has a good record against Guardiola as well, so he won't fear it. I think the fact that Liverpool are at home and the momentum that they've built up over the last number of weeks, probably since the decision was made and since the announcement was made, and everybody, I suppose, the question at that time, if you go back to it, was will this side or galvanise them and bring them together, or is it bad timing? And it's proved to be absolutely brilliant timing, because it seems as though it has galvanised them. They've gone on this relentless run of form, even despite the injuries, despite players being away, Salah away in January, they still picked up victory after victory. They've won a cup since as well, and obviously the big showdown on Saturday. I don't think it's a title decider though. I've heard people suggest that, oh, if Liverpool were to lose or Man City were to lose, that'll be the title race over. I don't think that's the case, despite the fact that they're both capable of reeling off 9-10 wins in a row, as we've seen. But I do think the fact that Liverpool are at home, that's a major advantage, and I think Guardiola will be certainly worried going into the game.
Raph, do you think that Guardiola will be worried heading into the game?
Perhaps to an extent. There is a little bit of needle there as well, but I think that's nothing to do with the managers. That's Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Oh yeah, tell us about that. I like a little bit of needle.
Yeah, no, Trent Alexander-Arnold, who's not due to be involved in the game, but he was doing an interview where he talked about the value of Liverpool's trophies being greater than Man City's, and as a neutral, you can have your opinion on that. I would tend to agree with Trent Alexander-Arnold on that, not from the players' point of view. I think for players, all trophies, and Alan probably be able to tell us better than anyone else, that there is a value to it. But as the clubs and how they've got to the point that they were at, I think Liverpool's is a little bit more romantic rather than City's, which is
hollow.
That wasn't probably the word I was going to say. Artificial probably just sounds as bad, actually.
It's a bit manufactured.
Yeah, a bit manufactured. It's not as organic.
None
as
of those
Liverpool
words were good.
Yeah. none of them were good.
And three very good descriptive words, I might add.
Yeah, I like that little bit of needle between the two of them, because they're going to come up against each other quite a bit over their careers as well. So Trent Haaland, ongoing rivalry, and with niggle would be very, very good. Fergal, we're talking about battles and games here. What are going to be the key ones on Sunday in this huge game?
I think obviously the kind of narrative that's going to be focused is obviously around Haaland, the comments that you mentioned there that he's had with Trent Alexander-Arnold. Trent Alexander-Arnold, who's obviously not playing because of his injury. I'd be interested to know what Conor Bradley thinks about that interview that he did, considering he's going to probably be the starting right back on Sunday. But I think for City, it'll be the way that they set up in the middle of the pitch. We've seen this season that they like this idea of having four central defensively minded players right in the middle of the pitch, be they centre backs or be they defensive midfielders. We've seen Stones or Akanji play in a kind of loose holding midfield role. That's what City will look to do. There'll be a big onus on Alexis McAllister and Dominic Szoboszlai to match that. They're not going to have the same system in midfield as Manchester City, so the timing of their runs, when they press, when they hold, will be really, really important. In terms of Liverpool, City in the last few weeks, when I've seen them have difficulties, it's been when they've gone with a back three and looked to play that way of Kyle Walker and Nathan Ake tucking in alongside Ruben Dias. And we saw it in flashes against United, but actually arguably saw it more relevantly against Bournemouth with Antoine Semenyo and Justin Kluivert, where they would just fly forward, because when you don't have a back four, you have two defenders either side of a central figure in Ruben Dias, who they have to make their decision very quickly. Do we get out and try and shut off a cross or a winger, or do we stick to where we are and defend the box? That's going to be very interesting this weekend, because it's probably going to be Nathan Ake against Mo Salah. One-on-one for me in that position, there's nobody better in the world than Mohamed Salah. He's got brilliant record against Manchester City. I think he scored in five in a row in the Premier League against City at Anfield. Loves playing against them, loves the big occasion. That, for me, has proven to be where City can be got at. United obviously couldn't sustain it for long enough, and Bournemouth probably missed the chances that they created to at least nick a point. Liverpool have got more quality than that. They've got Salah on one side, they've got Diaz on the other, and they've got Darwin Nunez as well. That, for me, is going to be very, very interesting. It won't be overly exploited by Liverpool, because they have to be cagey in other senses, but those really important moments, if Ake doesn't get support in front of him and Salah gets at him one-on-one, that'll be a big chance for Liverpool.
I think, Marie, you'll see them revert back to type, and in the big games with Guardiola, obviously you go back to last Sunday against Manchester United, it'll be that back four with Walker, Stones, Diaz and Ake, and it's the way to play in possession. But the worry for me, and in possession, just to add to that, obviously Stones will come into the midfield, and he's even expanded on that. He's gone further to midfield. We've seen him pop up in number 10 positions, making runs, advanced runs past Haaland and past the front men as well. So he's going to be pivotal in how Liverpool deal with him as well. But the worry I would have for Man City, and we've seen it more often than not against Man United as well, against the poor Man United team, but on the transition when they turn over the ball, Man City, they're so easy to get at because they send so many players forward. Now, I think against Liverpool, he'll be a little bit more cautious because he knows the threat that Liverpool have in terms of the pace. We've even seen it last night. They didn't play all that great. I know Sparta Prague were very weak defensively, but every time they went forward, they looked like scoring. They're so threatening with the pace that they have with Diaz, Nunez. I think Salah will come into the team. He'll start as well off the back of the 15 minutes he got last night. So as much as Man City are absolutely fantastic in what they do, and I mentioned here a few weeks ago watching them against Spurs, and they literally play with three, and it's almost like seven at times attacking, so they can be got at. Sometimes they're even defending with two and just Rodri sitting in front of them, so they can be got at, and I think that's where Klopp will play on it. Even though the fact that they're at home and the onus sometimes on the home team is to come out and attack, I think Liverpool will have no problem sitting in at times throughout the game as well, because you are going to suffer against Man City in terms of possession at times because of the way they play. He'll be quite happy with that, Klopp, and be compact, and then bang, as soon as they turn it over, he'll hit them on the counter attack.
Raf, is this Quevin Gallagher's biggest game to date?
Arguably, yeah, given what's at stake. I mean, obviously he's had a couple of big games in Carabao Cups against Chelsea, but yeah, I think it is as big as it gets for at this stage, given especially with the rivalry that exists between the two clubs, where we're at in the season, and you know, a huge opportunity for him as well, especially with you know, international games coming up, and there's a lot more focus on him obviously with this battle with Gavin Bazuna as well, in terms of the, you know, the start in Ireland jersey, albeit I would expect in the March games maybe each of them would get a game. But yeah, it is huge, and he made a great save as well yesterday when they were playing in the Europa League as well, and you know, he's just been in really, really good form. So it's just a question of just keeping that momentum going. And I don't think there's no better man in terms of, like, his form has been brilliant.
The biggest thing O'Kelleher, and obviously his ability, we all know about that. That's why he's at a club like Liverpool. It's his temperament. It's absolutely amazing, Marie. So this won't faze him whatsoever, a game like this. I actually think he'll be really looking forward to it, because I mentioned here a few weeks ago when there was a bit of debate and discussion around the fact that O'Kelleher needs to leave. Then he got his chance in the team, struggled in a couple of games, and people are saying he needs to get out now. And for the first time in his career, there was probably a few doubts around him. I never felt he should have left. And I actually made the point before he got that little run of games when it didn't work out for him that he needs to start putting himself in a position where he views Alisson as competition, not an understudy. And I know Alisson's absolutely outstanding, and that might may have sounded like a bold statement or something silly to say at the time, but he's getting to the age now, Kelleher, the longer it goes on, that you have to be seen as competition. And I think what we've seen in the last 3 or 4 weeks, particularly in the cup final, how well he played last night as well, as the outstanding, he's getting to the stage where all of a sudden he's actually knocking on the door with Klopp, where he's in a position to say, hold on a minute, I'm putting serious pressure on him, I have the jersey, he shouldn't just walk straight back in. Now Alisson's absolutely fantastic, he's been an unbelievable signing for Liverpool, and he's been over the years one of the best since him and Van Dijk have come in. They've been phenomenal. But I do think Kelleher, with the run of games that he's getting better and better. Raf mentioned the Irish thing as well. I think he'll start ahead of Bazunu as well, because he's getting that run of games that he never had before, and I think he's been absolutely brilliant. I don't think it will faze him whatsoever on Sunday.
Fergal, how much has his standing grown over the last few weeks?
Significantly. I mean, the Liverpool fans have always had a real soft spot for him, not just because of the Carabao Cup performances, but because of his attitude towards his role at Liverpool. He's never moaned, he's never complained about the fact that he's kind of drafted in as an emergency or a backup or in cup competitions. I'd agree, generally speaking, with what we've said about him over the last few weeks. I still think that Alisson, in the eyes of the club, is first choice. I think the club themselves are a bit bemused by the injury that he suffered, because there's a lot of conflicting reports about how far along he is in his recovery and how long Kelleher will remain in the team, depending on when he gets back to full fitness. But everything that Kelleher has been asked to do, he's done, and more. And I think the guys, again, are right when we look at this game this weekend. Maybe last year, if Alisson had suffered an unexpected injury and Kelleher was thrown in, there'd be a bit of a concern about him. But you watch him now and you just see the positivity coming through him. When he makes a save, he hops straight up off the ground and he's asking for another one. Van Dijk straight in, giving him the high five. He's really growing in there, and the defenders in front of him are trusting him more and more and more. And I can almost visualise it on Sunday that he makes a big save early on, and that really sets him up for the game, because I think that has helped him in the last few weeks, where there's been a couple of chances in the first 15-20 minutes. He's made a couple of big saves and then he's ready for it. But in terms of his position with Ireland, just to touch on that, I also think it's a difficult one, because Gavin Bazunu, for my money, has been excellent as number one. And I personally would say he still deserves to have it. Obviously, two friendly games coming up. I agree with Raf that they'll probably get a game each. But it's a battle that Kelleher's also facing for the national team as well as for his club.
I think it's probably the first time that we can actually have that debate, and it's real in the sense that both of them are getting a run of games. Up to now, I always felt Bazunu, Fergal, had the edge because he was obviously playing regular and Keevan wasn't. The fact that he has been playing over the last number of weeks, if it was a qualifier coming up in 2 or 3 weeks' time, I think he'd have the edge, Keevan, because I do think, and it's both of them are brilliant, but if you obviously you can only pick one for the jersey, I would have Kelleher ahead of Gavin just slightly in terms of being a better goalkeeper all round, and his temperament as well. But I think that's probably the first time now, because he's had the run of games, that we can have a genuine debate about it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really big game for him, and I love observing just how much respect the players around him have for him as well, and how much they seem to
Klopp
really
loves
like
him as well.
Him. Everybody seems to really like him. I think it's such a good sign, because you can really tell when players don't like each other, but he seems a real popular guy. Every game now for the teams that are in the title race and in the race for four feels like such a big game. Arsenal, Brentford, if they win at the weekend, Fergal, they're going to be top for the first time in 2024, and they're just in unbelievable form, really, aren't they?
They are. And this is why it's a weekend of such narrow margins. Obviously, as you say, if Arsenal beat Brentford on Saturday evening, they'll go top. And if the game on Sunday is a draw, they'll stay top on goal difference, which would be a big boost for them. They're not playing in the FA Cup next weekend. They've got Champions League against Porto, and then they've got a nice long break before they play City themselves at the end of March. The form that they've shown has been brilliant. They've kind of answered all of these questions of, can you keep pace with City and Liverpool? Can you make sure that you're not just on the coattails and maybe 4 or 5 points behind and needing one of them to slip up to get yourself back in there? Mikel Arteta has said all along that he wants to keep it in his hands, making sure that his players have got control over what they can do. And I expect them to go and get the job done against Brentford at the weekend. Another goalkeeper story, there'll be a change. David Raya's ineligible, so Aaron Ramsdale will come in. He hasn't played, oddly, since the last time Arsenal played Brentford in the Premier League. That'll be an interesting one for him because he's obviously very out of practice, and Arsenal are a very kind of slick machine at the moment. Arteta doesn't make too many changes, particularly in defence. He's got the defence and the goalkeeper that he wants. But the firepower that Arsenal have shown in the last few weeks, and obviously the set-piece ability, they've set that new record. I think it's 18 goals they've scored from set-pieces this season. That's a new Premier League record. Brentford themselves have got a few giants in the team and they can defend set pieces well, but Arsenal just look to be cooking. And Arteta will be saying that to the players. This is an opportunity for, instead of us following Liverpool and City as we have done in previous seasons, go and put the pressure on them. Make the Liverpool players and the City players, when they're sat in the dressing room on Sunday, have something extra to think about because we're top of the table. And that I think, if that goes to plan, that'll be another little bit of extra thrown onto Liverpool City on Sunday.
Alan, then on Sunday, Villa and Spurs crucial in that race for fourth, so both teams will no doubt go for it.
Oh, well, that's the way to play anyway, both teams, Marie, so that'll be a cracker. I mentioned at the top of the show that obviously we have the massive game with Liverpool and City, but I'm really looking forward to that one as well. Both of them have had fantastic seasons. Spurs have a game in hand as well. They're 5 points behind, so there's probably a bit more pressure on Spurs to get the victory in that one at the weekend, but it should be an absolute cracker of a game. Spurs have it all week to prepare. Obviously Villa were involved last night against Ajax as well. That may play a part, but in terms of the form that they're in as well, Villa, it's been very good. Ollie Watkins in unbelievable red hot form the last few weeks, banging in goals also, so should be a cracker of a game. Sunday is going to be a hell of a day in terms of the football, Marie.
Yeah, it's going to be a hell of a weekend. Fergal, I'm going to let you go because we're going to move on to the League of Ireland. Alan is heading off to a game. Thank you as always, Fergal. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts on Liverpool and Man City next week. But let's move to the League of Ireland. Alan, you are heading to watch Shelburne and Bowes. Shells, of course, the early pace setters. Everyone wants to catch them. But it's been such an exciting start to the season, and I guess one that maybe not everybody predicted.
It's been the most unpredictable start to a season that I can ever imagine, Marie. Obviously, all the WhatsApp groups, all the chats you're involved in, fellas asking me on a Friday, who do you think will win? You're giving them your thoughts, and then they're ringing me Saturday saying, what are you on about? Because the games have been so unpredictable, they really have. And I think the addition of Galway and Waterford, I knew that they would have added plenty because both of them coming up, unlike previous seasons, both of them coming up fully resourced in terms of their full-time obviously status at each club as well. I always thought they were going to be big, but they've probably been a surprise package in how well both of them have done. Pádraig Amond coming back obviously from the UK,
yeah,
as we all
story,
know,
yeah.
Brilliant striker, and he's hit the ground running with Waterford. They've picked up 7 points out of the 12, so they've had a great start. Galway themselves, who I watched on Monday night against Shelburne, not very easy on the eye, Galway, but they're very, very competitive, Marie, and they will, as I say, be like that throughout the whole season. So they're a couple of the surprise packages. I suppose the big surprise really is the form of Shamrock Rovers. Now I know they started really slow last year as well, so there'll be no panic buttons pressed there. St. Pat's have had a dreadful start. When you think of how well they finished last season, they won the opening night against Galway, and they've lost 3 on the bounce, and people are suggesting John Daly's under pressure. I don't see that, I have to be honest, Marie.
My worry, Alfred, the teams like Shamrock Rovers and Pat's and starting slow, and I know we mentioned that Rovers started slow last year, but are the chase and pack a little bit better this year though? Like, is having a slow start maybe not as I suppose safe as it was last year?
I think it probably is a little bit better, but it's up to those clubs to capitalise on those slow start, and that's something they didn't do last year, Marie. Yeah. So you see the likes of Derry obviously are on 8 points out of 12. You would like to think that they could have maybe picked up another couple of points and just make that gap as big as you can, because Shamrock Rovers are going to hit form at some point. Obviously some of the big name players are due to be back fairly soon as well, if we don't see them this weekend, so they will hit red hot form fairly soon. So I think it's up to the other clubs to build a bit of a lead if they can, if there is a slow start, because I said at the start of the league Shamrock Rovers would run away with this, and I still believe that absolutely. But I think because of them having the slow start, the likes of Shelburne who have picked up 10 points, the likes of Derry I mentioned, they need to capitalise on that. But we all said Pats might be one of the challengers. Sure, they're only a point ahead of Shamrock Rovers at the moment. So there you go, Marie. Yeah. So
and we know, Al, you love an old title race. So
yeah, we love a title race. Yeah, we want to see a title. I don't want Shamrock Rovers to run away with it, but I'm just going on what my eyes are telling me when I look at them in terms of the pre-season and the players they signed and the squad that they have. Obviously it's been a slow start, which is a good thing for the league, and it keeps everybody in it and competitive, and even though it is only early, but they will click at some point, don't worry about that.
Okay lads, we're going to have to take a break. The texters have been letting us know that we forgot to mention Shane Lowry in the golf, and another thing to watch this weekend, because he is leading at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. So he is through 14, he's 2 under for his second round, 8 in total, and he had a really good form last weekend, and he seems to be carrying it through to this weekend. So of course we'll be watching Shane Lowry over the weekend as well. We'll be adding that to the list. We're going to take a very quick break. Stay with us though. Jane Mangan is standing by to talk about the weekend's racing and to mark our cards for Cheltenham. Now, welcome back. It is time to talk racing with Jane Mangan. Jane, before we get into your best shout for Cheltenham, what else is happening this weekend on the Irish racing scene?
Yeah, it almost seems remiss to talk about anything else other than Cheltenham, but there is 3 meetings in Ireland this weekend. There's Gorn Park on heavy ground tomorrow, and there's a double meeting on Sunday at Limerick and at Naas. The highlight of the weekend for me will be the Bar One Racing Leinster National. It's the stamina test over 3-1. A good field has been declared. I think 13 of them have been declared. 3 of them from Willie Mullins, and that'll be a name we'll hear a lot about over the next couple of days. He's got the favourite in Manila Kakuner, who on his 10-up run behind American Mike and Nick Rocket, 2 horses who are going to cross the Irish Sea in the next couple of days. On that run, he looks like he could be, but he is the one to beat, really. It's his handicap debut. He's got the weight, he's got a mark of 148, and he's just ahead of last year's winner, Espinito Bello, in the market. But Barry Connell's horse this time around has £8 more. It's not the only good action on the card, though, because a little bit earlier on that same card is a Grade 3, the Kingsfurs Novices Hurdle. And I think there's a good horse in there called Mirazure West. He's a full brother to Fernie Hollow. He's likely a race. This is only going to be his 3rd start over hurdles. But with the likes of Fun, 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 an undeniable alibi to beat, he's going to have to be good. He's going to keep that upward trajectory.
Sounds good, Jane. Okay, the main event, Cheltenham next week.
How excited are you,
Jane? Yeah.
Oh, like Child of Christmas. Like, it's ridiculous. And it's the same every year. Willie Mullins, out of character for him, has told us in advance of declarations that Ballyburn is not going to the Supreme, that he's going to the Barring Bingham on the second day. So that threw a lot of anti-post betters all around the shop. That then suggests that Tully Hill and Mystical Power are dead set for the day one opener. We've had, obviously, the news of Constitution Hill and many more falling away, but the cards are very much almost in place now. If you can visualise a chessboard, the pieces are very much where they should be. And look, as an Irish person, the last time I checked, we have all bar 2 races of the 28, we have all of the favourites. So the Britain, in the UK, they have 2 favourites of 28 races. Irish trained horses fill all the other favourite slots. Isn't that quite remarkable going across the Irish?
If it wasn't on their own ground, sure, they may as well not turn up, Al. Jane,
we have made it home away from home.
Right? We absolutely.
That's incredible. It just goes to show the domination.
Big time. So Jane, unfortunately we don't have a huge amount of time. We have Ruby on every day next week, and he's going to be giving us all of his wise thoughts. You're on Sunday Sport this week as well, so we'll be fully previewing Cheltenham. But for our listeners today, give us your tip for the week in Cheltenham.
Look, my banker, she's not much of a price, so don't roll your eyes. Alan, I'm talking about you. Lossy Mouth in the Mares, I just cannot see past her. And my each way shout for the week is Conflated in the Ryanair. Mm. Wouldn't we all love to see Michael O'Leary present his wife, Anita, with the trophy?
Oh, very nice. For International nice Women's Day week, whatever it will be next week. Jane Mangan, thank you so much for that. Enjoy the week. Look forward to chatting to you again and for all of your reflections as well next week. Thank you as always. Alan Colley, thank you too.
Pleasure,
and
mate.
Raph, we have to announce the winner of our Dove competition though, because it's a huge one. And Twickenham, of course, is the venue for England versus Ireland in the Six Nations tomorrow. So congrats to Sinead Tracy, who has just won a gift hamper packed full of Dove Men Plus Care products from deodorant to body wash. Sinead went into our overall draw along with our other daily prize winners for the epic prize of a €1,500 sports package from Dove to go towards match tickets, hotel stay and spending money. And the winner of that amazing prize is Paddy Ryan in Tipperary. So
yes,
congratulations,
Paddy.
Come on,
Paddy. The Dove products are absolutely fantastic, I can tell you myself.
I'll be looking forward to hearing where Paddy is going with his €1,500 sports package.